continue to follow the Lord tonight and mind him, and what you have on your heart is what needs to be said. If the Lord's placed it there, then it needs to be said. If you have a testimony or whatever the Lord would have for you to do tonight. I was thinking last night of the while I was sitting there trying to pray and thinking that all of the different parts of the church and the different members, as the Bible tells that we are, and that we all have a part in the service. There's a preaching of the Word of God, and there's testimonies of those that have been saved and those that have experienced things in their life that the Lord's delivered them from. I think all of those things are put in your heart because there's someone here that needs to hear that. And I know that one thing that would always convict me in the Lord's service is the testimonies of God's people and them telling of the experiences that how the Lord saved them and how they felt during that process. That's such a beautiful thing. We come here tonight. I passed many church buildings on the way here tonight, and I came thinking how thankful I was that I get to come to an environment, we gather together as God's people, that it might be an environment conducive to the Holy Spirit of God and the way that He can move, and that you are allowed to stand and to tell what the Lord's done for you. I don't have to stand up here and just start preaching on some schedule. But you follow the Lord tonight. I want to give you a little bit of encouragement on that. Peter was given instruction by the Lord to go to a man named Cornelius. And when Peter got there, he started preaching to Cornelius. But the beautiful part about that story is the Lord was already working on Cornelius, wasn't he? And when he got there, he started preaching. And if you go back and read it, it says that while Peter was still preaching, the Holy Spirit fell upon him. So don't ever think you're going to interrupt something when the Lord's leading you to do something. If the Lord has put on your heart to come and seek him while the preaching is going on, then you do what the Lord tells you to do. You're not going to interrupt it. In fact, you follow the Spirit of God. Everything will be done in decent and order, won't it? So continue to follow the Lord tonight. I don't want to weary your patience or your time. I know some are probably tired, and I understand that. I have had a good day today. I got an opportunity to go see Sister Eileen at the hospital today, and she was sitting up in her chair, and which was a good thing. And her oxygen levels were coming back, and so her kidney function was doing better. And it was good to see her. She was in pretty good spirits. But continue to pray for her as she tries to recover. So I went back to the house, and I had an opportunity. I tried my best to clear my schedule. I understand. I talked to many of you here. It's hard to do that, isn't it? I understand that. I think we, today's time, we have so many things that keeps us busy and distracted. But I tried my best today to have some time with the Lord. I was reading in Revelation that says that when he was speaking to the churches, that Jesus, it says that he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And he addressed that to his church. "I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will open to me, I'll come in and I'll sup with him." Sometimes it's good to just sit down and stop everything and sup with the Lord. I want to come and sit in his presence. We are in dire need of that today. I am more and more need every day that I live, that I would just open the door and sup with my Savior. He brings a manna of life. All the substance that you need, Jesus will provide that. We'll provide that during those times. Times of prayer. I'm so thankful that I'm on a journey through this life that I realize what God's done for me and all of the blessings that He's given me. And I don't know how any better way to describe it. I feel like I'm just living on borrowed time. I don't know how else to explain it. I feel as if when God saved me, He gave me everything I needed. Everything that I would ever need, He gave it to me. He prepared me for eternity. I was given an invitation, and sometimes I feel, as I'm walking down my life, I feel as if I'm just getting closer to that day that I'll step off into eternity and get to be with my Lord. Indeed, I see and understand deep within my soul that I am a pilgrim. I hope you feel that too, as God's people. That you are just roaming the earth just for a short time. And then the day will come, if the Lord blesses us to live long enough, that your body will give way finally and pay its penalty for its sin. And your soul will be stripped from that flesh and returned unto God. What more could God's people ask for? What more could we even ask the Lord on top of that? When He's already given us and prepared us for that great day. There's people I met today that's going to be meeting that day soon. And I'm thankful she's prepared. Pray the Lord will allow her to linger for a little bit longer. But I don't want her to be in pain, and she doesn't want to be there either. If you're here and you don't know the Lord tonight, my thoughts are with you. I'm praying for you. I want you to know what it's like to be saved from wrath to come, because it's coming. And as we have another opportunity that we can come here tonight, I thought about it on the way here. How long suffering God is. And I believe, just as the Lord has showed me in my life, I believe that after you do get saved, you're going to look back on all of these nights that the Lord tarried and He allowed for another service to go on. You're going to look back and you're going to say, thank you, Lord, for having mercy on me and not taking me out of this world. When it could have been so easily done, because we are so fragile, but God has mercy, doesn't He? Yeah. So much mercy, as the brother just read a scripture of that. Well, what stuck out to me, Brother Michael, is it says that He has not dealt with me the way He should have dealt with me. My sins and my iniquities. He has not dealt with me. Some people get so frustrated that God is not giving them what they want. But what they should really be thankful is that He's not imputing or holding them accountable to their sin and taking their life from them at that very moment. We should all be thankful that He has mercy on us. I don't know if we're going to get our scripture tonight or not, but it's okay. I had a thought last night and I thought, Lord, this is difficult for me. I think it's proper for us to understand that to stand and preach the gospel is not an easy thing. We have a weak flesh. We are standing in a place that's holy ground trying to preach the gospel of the Son of God. And I will be accountable for that one of these days. The Bible says to be not many teachers, because we will receive a more stern, strict judgment. So tonight, I have an opportunity to read some scripture tonight, and I am held accountable for that. But you are going to be held accountable as a hearer of God's word. That God will hold you accountable for your sin. I had a discussion about this scripture with some of my brothers because when we went to Tennessee, and some of them brought it up, we were bringing up scriptures to each other that we had that were difficult for us. And I mentioned one of them to the brothers, and they brought back this one. And I've been sort of reading on it, studying it ever since. But I believe I have clarity on it, and pray for us tonight. I don't want to weary you. I know it's already 8 o'clock. But at least we'll read the scripture, and may God use it to cultivate and work inside you tonight, okay? 15th chapter of Matthew, I want to read. Pray that we have ears to hear tonight as we read God's word. 15th chapter of Matthew, 21st verse. When Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now, I had to stop here because this was difficult for me. That when someone in anguish and in desperate need asked the Lord to help them, and the Lord did not answer this woman. And then she cried to him, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs. It's almost like, and Lord forgive me, I have no meaning in this way, almost as if it's an insult to injury, but it's so not. We'll get to that in a minute. The Lord is holy and righteous, and He, what He says is true. And He makes no mistake. He is perfect in all ways. Every message that he preached, every word, blessed word that came from his mouth was holy and righteous and upright. And have all men to be liars compared to the words that come from our precious Savior's mouth. And she said, Truth, Lord. And admittance to it. We'll get that in a second. Truth, Lord. I am a dog. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was whole from that very hour. Don't you love it when Jesus speaks life and they don't have to be there? And they're healed from miles away. It's not hard for God to speak into existence life into you. Even when you're dead in trespasses and sin, he makes you alive. It's not difficult for God to do those things. But here we have a scenario, and I was going to go read in Mark. I want to encourage you to go read the same instance in Mark. And for time's sake tonight, I'll just stick with Matthew. Because he gives us some thoughts to look at. Jesus was traveling through Tyre and Sidon, an idolatrous place. And if you go and get some context and look back in the Old Testament, we find what Tyre and Sidon, the kind of people they were. At one point in David's reign, Tyre and Sidon actually helped the Israelites in helping him in their seafaring war with the Philistines. But as time went on, they began to come down. I tell you this, one of the worst things that came out of the Tyre and Sidon was Jezebel. She was a princess from there. Came down and married one of the northern princes of kings of Israel. And caused all kinds of havoc. So when it comes down to Jesus' time, there was a great hatred for these people from the Jews towards them. But I love that Jesus will come to places where the sinners dwell. He comes to, he'll sit and eat with publicans and sinners. And he will come and sit with you in your weakness. And when you are faced with death, just as Mary and Martha, and as they were mourning so much of Lazarus, he came and dwelt among them, even though he was getting ready to call Lazarus from the dead. He sat with them and wept. Don't ever think that the Lord is too far from you. He's nigh unto you. It's been said, Romans tells us that he is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's the God we serve. That's my Lord that I will answer to one of these days, but he's the one that comforts me through my days here on this earth. He is so good that we are indeed unworthy. Now, the woman had a problem that I was contemplating today and thinking of what she was going through, that her daughter was vexed with a spirit, evil spirit. I began to think of the pain. And I remember of the other man that had a son that was possessed as well, that even the disciples couldn't cast out this demon that was within him. Wicked, wicked demon that would throw his son into the fire, tear himself. And for that, that son's father, for him to see that. Could you imagine? Could you imagine that with your children? I would be beside myself. I wouldn't be able to think clearly during my daily activities, knowing that this wickedness and this thing was possessing my children. I wouldn't be able to
articulate or to be able to communicate with people, because it would be a continual sorrow upon my heart.
I believe this woman felt that same way.
Just judging by what's pinned down and written about her actions.
But she comes to Jesus. And it cried unto him. She's doing that which is well. And she acknowledged him as the Son of David, which was a messianic acknowledgement. She was a Gentile from Tyre and Sidon. This happened again also to the blind man that cried out, said, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." But when she cried out, "My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Can you help me?" But he answered her not a word. Boy, that cuts me. But we're going to get to some good news. And his disciples came and said, "Lord, send her away." I said, "Just send her away. Do whatever. Give her whatever she needs. She's bothering us. Leave her alone. Leave us alone." The disciples did this from time to time, didn't they? Amen. They wanted Jesus to get rid of the outcasts, things that they perhaps thought might not be worthy to speak to their Lord, wanting to get rid of them. Jesus didn't do that, but he communicated with this woman something. But he answered and said, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." If you go and you read in the book of Mark, he renders it this way. And I would encourage you to do this very much. If you ever read in the Gospels of an account, go and see if it's written in the other Gospels as well. It will help round out your understanding of what the situation was. Mark goes on and says, "Let the children be fed first." Now that gives us a little bit more insight on what's going on. "But I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she, worshipped him, saying, and this is where it really cuts me, "Lord, help me." I would encourage everyone here for the rest of my life to do this very thing. Go to the Lord and ask him for help. He will help you. He will do it. But just wait. Just wait on him, and he will help you. But he said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." Raise your hand here if you got dogs at home. Not everybody. I thought I'd see more hands than that. I have 2 dogs at home. And they're just that. They're dogs. They act like dogs. They treat my house like dogs would treat houses. Sometimes. I scold them sometimes for doing that. But they're dogs. They're animals. And many times, and I'm sure all of you that raised your hand will know this, have we been sitting down to eat? And those dogs are right there, staring right at me. I have a blue heeler. Very, very well-behaved dog. And he will come. He knows I'm getting ready to eat. He will come right around and sit beside me, sit down, and just stare right at me. It does make you feel good to have dogs that do that. But he knows what I'm doing. And the interesting thing about it, all dogs are different. They're not all the same. Not all of them behave. I've seen some jump up on tables before. That's not a good thing. He is well behaved, though. And he sits and waits. I have another little Yorkie. Bless his little heart. We call him Spin Move. Because that's what he'll just sit there and do. He'll just go around like you wouldn't believe. And it's very cute. And you definitely want to feed them. But I am convinced they know their dogs. They know their place. This woman admitted that she was a dog. But she also had desires. That her desire was that if she could just have a morsel of something discarded from the table that might give her just a little bit of satisfaction. And I'll tell you this. When one little food particle will fall to the ground and those dogs get it, if they didn't get any more, they're satisfied. Although they'll continue to sit there and stare at me. I know not to take that which I have worked my hard-earned money to give to my dogs from my table. That to me would be a waste. But I will try and wait until I am finished eating, and if there is leftovers, I'll give them some. But I tell you all of this because Jesus gave us this illustration. It's not my illustration, it's the Lord's. And this woman admitted that she was a dog. I'll tell you this. In my life today, the farther and farther along I get, I will have to come to terms with the fact that God has richly endowed me with His mercy, or given me His mercy beyond what I deserve. He's extended grace my way, and at the age of 17, lifted me up out of the miry clay and set me upon a solid rock and established my goings, and He put a song in my heart that's been singing ever since. It gets quiet sometimes, but sometimes it gets kind of loud. And those are good times. Those are heavenly places that we sit. We've sat in a few heavenly places already this week. We're going to continue to do that, aren't we? You betcha we are. I want to talk about the children's bread. God, when He makes a promise, He fulfills that promise. I'm thankful for that because He gave me a promise when He saved me. And that's what I live by. Because one of these days, that promise is going to be fulfilled. Whether He comes back and I am standing here in this flesh, or my body has given out and in the grave, He's going to come back and He's going to speak that body, that rotten body, out of the grave and change it. Until and make it into that which is incorruptible and immortal to dwell with Him for all of eternity. He's going to do that. Not just for me, but for everyone that trusts Him. That's the key, by the way. Trust Him in what He has done already. He's taking care of it all for us.
But Jesus was on a mission to go to the children of Israel.
And he did just that.
But my point tonight in saying all of these things, Jesus fulfilled that. And he took
his words, the gospel message, the promise that God promised unto Abraham
and his children. And that he said that there would not be someone not sitting on that throne, David.
But he will come.
He fulfilled that promise.
And you know what happens to food that's set on the table that our stubborn children don't always eat? Even when they're told to. Because it will give them life and nourishment that they need. Yet, children don't always eat. And guess what? Those children's plate was taken away from them. And perhaps, maybe, it might be given back to them in the future. When they see who Jesus is. But for right now, I want to tell you some good news. That if you're here and lost, there's a plate set before you. Yeah. That's full of heavenly manna. That's given to you because of the rejection of the children. And we are dogs. But we are fortunate tonight that God looks down upon those that cry unto him in dire straits and in dire need. And he sees their faith. He says, you know what? I'll tell you this. He gave this dog, this woman, that plate. And he's letting me have a morsel off that plate. I'll tell you this. I've said it many times. I think about it a lot. There's a piece of real estate reserved for me in heaven. I don't know how big it is. I know it's there.
But even if it's just a square foot, or maybe they call it a cubit, I don't know. I'll call it a square foot. Even if it's a place for me to stand for all of eternity and not be able to go one inch this way or that way. I'm going to rejoice beyond comparison. And even if it's outside the walls of the great kingdom, I'll take whatever little small crown I have and just toss it over the side at the Lord, saying, thank you for letting me into your kingdom.
But there was a thief on the cross that had done so many evil things in his life. And this is another reason why you read all of the Gospels and put them together so you have all of your context and understanding, is that this thief, I believe, began to rail on the Lord. Both of them. But there was a change of heart at some point. Because one of those thieves finally admitted and looked over at the Lord and said, why are we doing this? This man's done no wrong.
We deserve to be here, but this man is just.
And then he looks at Jesus. He says, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom.
And Jesus looked back at him.
He didn't ignore him.
He said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise."
Paradise. I looked up that word.
It ain't a square foot.
It's paradise. As wide and broad as you could imagine.
I think it was a little bit in reference to like a hunter's paradise. If you could think of acreage that you could look about on. I'll tell you this, you should get excited, God's people, church. Because Jesus said, "I'm going to go to prepare a place for you." Holy cow. I can imagine. In fact, the Bible says, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him." So it is going to be a blissful place. Yes, Lord, I am a dog. But thank you for the crumbs. Thank you. I can live off crumbs. But I'll tell you this. He doesn't just give me crumbs. He won't give you crumbs. He'll let you sit at His table. If you trust Him on this side of eternity, you'll get to sit at the table with the Lord. And He's going to eat with you and sup with you for all of eternity. Praise God. Let's have a song. Follow the Lord. Say, if you're here and you don't know the Lord, I said earlier my heart was with you, and it is. And as Sister Mary, I believe it was, that said last night, we've all been there. We've been where you're at, and I know what that's like. And I also know the Lord brought me through that pain. I will encourage you to be as this woman. You wait on Him. You wait on the Lord when He convicts you. It was preached so well last night and articulated well, so well from this good brother. How that God guides you through that process of your contriteness, your brokenness, your conviction of sin. And then He leads you to a place that's called repentance. That's what that does. It's guiding you to a place so that you can repent. What does it mean to repent? It means to turn from your way and turn towards God. What a beautiful thing that when God can guide us through that and help us to get there. I needed help getting there, and He can help you get there too. So, repentance and trust and belief on Him. And when the Lord sees your faith, He's going to give you a plate full of manna. And you're going to rejoice. I want to rejoice with you. And you're going to get peace that passes all understanding. While we sing.
250. Let's stand.